keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. With a little flavour added in.
Well, now let's have a little bit.
Detroit Style, the Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show, coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Trademark Production Podcast Radio Show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, listening to us this week. We got a pretty cool week of a lot of cool things are going on. There's a recent we talked about last week, the Panda 24 update. There's been some good fluctuation on that. Luckily for us, we've panned out pretty well.
Yes, we have.
Panning and Panda.
Yes, panning and Panda
in a positive sense, which is kind of cool. And this week, as we talked about before, we were going to get in a little bit more with highlighting some really cool internet technologies. And these might be software, it might be a plugin, it may be internet marketing based, it might be SEO based, social media, a number of different components. But one of the cool things that we've come across recently was a plugin for CAPTCHA. Actually, not a plugin, but a new version of a CAPTCHA. And a lot of our listeners understand who CAPTCHA is. But for those that are listening that don't, that's that annoying little box when you go to fill out an online form. And you have to enter in some different numbers, or it's usually scribbled out numbers, or they're really hard to read. You have to do some re-entry quite a few different times. Well, what's really cool is a local couple guys, I believe it's two gentlemen, came up with a new idea. To reinvent the CAPTCHA for, I guess, human verification of a form. Because what ends up happening is a lot of, they're basically called bots, small computer programs that will seek out a number of different forms to then auto-post information and submit them in hopes of a number of different things, generating backlinks, phishing, it might be SQL injection, it might be a number of different things. But they figured out a very, very clever, cool way to allow these CAPTCHAs or this human verification to happen on online forms on websites. And it's interactive, and it seems to be working really, really good. So, Mike, I think we got the gentleman up on the line here.
We do. We are speaking with Reed Tatoris from Are You a Human? How are you doing, Reed?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. First off, we wanted to know if you could kind of explain the concept behind Are You a Human and how the whole idea came about.
Yeah, so as you guys explained, you see CAPTCHA all over on the internet. There's 300 billion of them a year. It's there to make sure that a website, for various reasons, is interacting with a real person, to prevent spam, to prevent hackers from buying up tickets to a concert, etc. The problem with CAPTCHA is that it's incredibly annoying. Anyone who's seen it, it's terrible. It causes drop-off. 30 to 35% of people will leave a site when presented with the CAPTCHA. So not only does it frustrate your users and piss them off, but you're actually losing business if you're a website using a CAPTCHA. The other alternative is be inundated with spam. So there's no good option. My partner Tyler came up with the idea. He has a friend. He claims it was a friend that was trying to buy Hannah Montana tickets for his daughter. So a couple years ago, and they sold out in like 4 minutes. And you know, he thought even for Hannah Montana that seems a little excessive. Well, at the end of the week, they saw an article that hackers had gotten through the CAPTCHA, purchased up like 50% of the tickets available, and were reselling them on the secondary market for 10 times the price.
Sure.
So that was kind of the genesis of, hey, this tool that is there to protect us doesn't work, and it also tortures us in the meantime. So we started playing around with, you know, what can we do that is easy for people and difficult for bots. And then what we actually settled on was having you play a quick game. So instead of filling out those obnoxious CAPTCHA, the letters that you can never read, we'll say drag the food into the fridge, and you have to pick what items are food and put them in the fridge, or put the toppings on the pizza. It's a really quick 5 to 10 second interaction that's entertaining and that's much more friendly than the CAPTCHA. What we do is we actually analyze how you interact with the game. So your mouse movements, where you click, where you drag, your IP address, we look at all this stuff, and we have an algorithm that can tell us if you're a person or not. The reason that's really important is that with CAPTCHA right now, the only way to make it more secure and more difficult for hackers is to make the task itself more difficult. So instead, what we do is, in the future, as we get people that try and break us, we take that data, we feed it into our algorithm, and then we can become smarter about it. So we don't have to get into the same arms race that CAPTCHA's gotten into today.
That's pretty cool. So I guess are you different from other companies? I mean, what can you do that other CAPTCHAs or other types of plugins or other types of human verification can't, essentially? I mean, talk about the separation of that.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. So the first thing is what I just mentioned about avoiding this arms race is that CAPTCHA is binary. You input a code, and all the website knows is this code correct or not. So because of that, you have to make it really difficult to find that code. They don't know anything about how you go about completing that task. So with us, since we monitor your interaction, we don't need to make that task more difficult. We just need to get better at monitoring how you interact. So I think it's a fundamental shift between making a person prove they're who they are. And in our case, we just watch you, and it's on us to make sure that based on watching you, we can tell you're a person. And the second thing is CAPTCHA, I think all the other companies approach it from kind of from a security standpoint of how do we make this the most difficult for hackers. Now, security has to be there, but as we talk to hundreds and thousands of website owners, they're okay with the current level of security with CAPTCHA, but they just despise how terrible it is for people. So we said, okay, we're going to be secure. We absolutely have to, but let's make our focus on the user side. So we approached the problem of saying, one, let's make something that's really easy for people to get through, and then we'll figure out how to make that secure as well. But I think it's a different approach where we try and look at how can we make that experience better for the end user.
That's awesome. What are the, like, what kind of percentages have you guys seen when it comes to, like, the improvement of people filling out the form and going through your game as opposed to a CAPTCHA? Like, what's the click-through rate or the follow-through?
Yeah, so we've done a ton of testing and seen really good results. So if you use Are You a Human on a form instead of a CAPTCHA, you see a 40% increase in submission rates. So that's 40% more people posting, commenting, buying, whatever you want them to do on your site. So that's a huge impact on your business. And then in addition to that, we've done preference testing. And as you can imagine, 98% of people prefer using Are You a Human over CAPTCHA, which actually doesn't make sense to me because I don't know who these 2% of people are that enjoy CAPTCHA, but there's some weird people out there.
Yeah.
And then lastly, what's really interesting is we asked people how long they thought both a CAPTCHA and play through each of those take them. And while they both took about the same time, people perceive that CAPTCHA took 50% longer. And I think that's really telling to how poor the experience was, that it seems like it's taking a lot longer than it is. And then for us, it seems like it's taking actually less time than it does.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like a really bad hour and a half movie versus like a really great 3-hour movie that feels just as quick.
Kind of, except we don't take longer than CAPTCHA.
No.
So I wouldn't compare it that way. It's, I don't know, what's like watching Dances with Wolves versus watching Lord of the Rings. Or
okay, yeah,
kind of.
That makes more sense.
Talk about a little bit about, you're Detroit-based, you're living and breathing, you guys are from Detroit, Michigan. So talk about the startup community here and how that's, worked out for you.
Yeah, so the community here is great. The three co-founders, we all had, we grew up in Michigan, had lived and worked elsewhere for a number of years. And personally, anytime I talked to people about being from Detroit, the response was, oh, I'm sorry, that's too bad. Like, not in a mean way, but, all these bad things that have been happening. And I hated that. And we all wanted to consciously say, we can do something here, that we think is positive. And then we recruited an awesome team that's also mostly from Detroit. We're downtown in the Madison Theater Building, and it's really incredible to be here. So, talked to lots of people in New York, in Boston, in Chicago, in L.A., in San Francisco, and all the other startup communities. And we've got, there's such a sense of purpose beyond just the company. The other companies here really root for us to succeed, and I really feel that. And I feel the same way as well, because we all are part of this bigger ecosystem. When you're starting your company in Palo Alto, you've got great access to resources, the best developers, all kinds of good things. But you're not needed there, right? There's already an established community. You're trying and struggling to be a part of it. And here in Detroit, we're all a part of a really small community, and we really are working together to try and make it better. I've never seen any competition for developers. I mean, people help recruit, which does not at all happen in the Bay at all. So it's just really great. It's fun to be a part of something something that's new and growing. So when we have days that are rough for us, we can see the cool things happening around us and still be entertained by it and feel good to be a part of it. So yeah, I absolutely love the Detroit community. We've got a ton of work to do. It's not where we need to be, but being part of that growth is really exciting for all of us. And I know, I think from a recruiting standpoint too, it's the people who are on the team love being in Detroit as well, and it's an advantage to keep them here because it's really a unique place.
Yeah, the startup community in Detroit has really seemed to skyrocket over the last couple of years. Do you is there anywhere you think that it's going? Like, what do you see for the future of the Detroit startup community?
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. It's impossible to predict. I mean, I think it's positive. I think we've got a really, really good shot at building something. I see a lot of companies that have a lot of promise, and you know, we know that most of them aren't going to succeed, but we just need a few of them to succeed. And then for me, I think the big stuff for Detroit will be not when you know, Are You a Human or Up To or Quickly or any of these other companies are successful, but it's the second generation companies. You know, when we do well and one of our developers says, I'm bored, I need to go do something on my own, I'm going to start a new company, that's what's going to be really exciting for me. And that's what I think the key is. You have, when you look at the bigger startup communities, they have people who have been experienced in a startup leaving, doing their own thing, and they become that much better at making one of those second generation companies. And I think that's going to be the exciting part when we hit that point.
Now, mentioning startup here too, you've actually are part of an actual venture Detroit venture partner. So, how did that entire process work? And this is more for, I guess, others out there that are entrepreneurs or they have an idea. How do they go out about seeking assistance and funding and whatnot?
So, I mean, I think everyone will say this, but our funding process was unique. So, we in July of 2011, we raised some money from Detroit Venture Partners, the Frankel Fund, and the First Step Fund. So all great investors, love working with all of them. But we were in business school doing business plan competitions and had met some investors through that process. We were lucky enough to do well in some of those, so we were introduced to several people. So it wasn't your standard kind of going on knocking all the doors on all the doors like we've done since as we've tried to raise more money. So what I would say is one, you don't have to raise money. That shouldn't be a goal. The goal should be building a company. As you have a good idea, talk to people as soon as possible. So I know for a fact, Josh or Ted or Jake or any of the guys at DVP will take meetings from people who say, hey, I'm working on an idea. I'd like to get your opinion. They take those all the time. If you say, hey, I've got a great company, I want your money, they have to think about it a little harder. So, as soon as you can, talk to investors that you think make sense for your company that could help you, give you advice. And then down the road, when it's time to raise money, it'll be a lot easier to have those conversations. They already know you. You know, we took money and it made sense for us, but it doesn't make sense for everyone, so you don't have to do it. Look for ways to not take investors. You know, partially because you sell a piece of your company, but mainly because you're bringing on partners. We work with DVP constantly. They're part of the team. You know, we have to report to them on things, so it changes the dynamic of the company. So when you are looking at investors, it's really like a marriage. It's cliche. People say that all the time. But like, you don't want money from a terrible person or from someone you can't stand. It's going to be more trouble than it's worth. So you should be interviewing potential investors as much as they're interviewing you. And I know that as I say that, you know, anyone who's trying to raise money is going to say, yeah, that's really easy to do when you have five different options, but taking money from the wrong person is not going to help you. And we were lucky enough that DVP was a great fit for us, and it's been a good relationship since.
Awesome. We're about getting ready to wrap up. Is there anything else you'd like to add about Are You a Human or the startup community in general, Reed?
So if you've got a website, go to areyouhuman.com. It takes 10 minutes to install. We've got simple plugins. Take you a few minutes to make your users really happy. You'll get more conversions. It's just better all around. Please take the time and do that. And we're happy to have feedback. We love seeing that. Detroit community is great. Anyone who's thinking of doing something, just do it. It's the hardest part. You know, taking that step of actually doing something and being proactive. is the first step. And the more people do that, the better off we'll all be, and it'll be better for our community. So, and I'm happy to anyone who's interested, who wants to know more about Are You a Human, or more about what we're doing, or just our startup community in general, feel free to email me, Reed, R-E-I-D, at Are You a Human. I'm happy to talk to anyone.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Reed.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you soon.
Very, very cool. The cool technology, and it's actually kind of a an aha, kind of like duh moment.
Yeah, very much so.
When you actually see it. So go to ruhuman.com, and you'll play one of these small little captchas, and it's a unique idea. It's just very, very cool. And I definitely think that everybody should be implementing something like this in their website.
I agree. It not only makes it harder for bots, but it's more enjoyable, like you said. I mean, I've played with the Are You a Human playthrough games multiple times, and they're very cool, and they make the process a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, totally. So let's go on to some other news. I'm just going to scan through a number of different things. I know you have two different topics that you do want to hit on.
No worries.
That's pretty cool. But one of the cool things that I saw was basically to the, you know, we talked about the North Korean concentration camps.
Yes.
And the worker camps. And basically Google stating that, you know, they've gotten a lot of their details through a ton of crowdsourcing. And basically you can find a ton of that stuff up there on the map. So definitely go out and take a look at that and see exactly what's all there. And it goes down to the detail of telling you where guard shacks are and where actually some of the worker areas are and stuff. But I guess that, yeah, all done too as far as crowdsourcing, which it's amazing the type of information that can be leaked out there that they just can't contain everything.
I love crowdsourcing.
Yeah, and OpenStreetMap has amassed over 1 million contributors.
Oh, really?
Well. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool as well. That's also a very, very cool tool if you got some time to galley around on a Friday. And also, Pinterest is going to be rolling out a new look and navigation to some users.
So
we'll be looking for some of those changes to be coming up pretty soon here, too.
Well, I wonder how that will affect usability and, I guess, conversions in clicking links to go places. But any idea what it's going to look like?
No. Certain users are actually getting this pushed out to them as basically surprise beta. And just going to wait to take a look. There's some screenshots that I did see out there as well. So you can look in Google Images and find those.
Very cool. Another thing that we want to discuss, which I think is pretty interesting, but actually both my topics go hand in hand. Google Plus has officially surpassed Twitter to become the second.
I think that's bullshit.
I do too. It's because now in order to use YouTube or to sign up for YouTube, you have to sign up via Google Plus. So
any Google property,
any
Google tool or property, you have to create a Google account, which gives you a Plus account automatically. So I think the amount of users, I think we have a very small adoption rate.
Yes.
I guess I have to come forward and say that, you know, I don't use Google Plus all that much.
I don't either. I try. I go through periods where it's like,
I do try, but it's like hanging out in the ghetto end of the mall where there's like just one or two stores.
Yeah, exactly. It's very strange. It's
how the fuck I came up with that, I'm not sure, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. But speaking of Twitter, Twitter is the fastest growing social network right now.
Yeah.
They had a 40% increase in users from quarter two to quarter four last year. Which is the equivalent of 288 million users.
Wow.
And I think the primary reason is that Twitter is still the only social network that is exactly it is what it says it is. It's brief, it's quick, it's fast, it's, you know, what you assume Twitter is exactly what it is. There's no hijinks. It's not like Facebook where you've got the new graph search, where you've got timeline, where you've got newsfeed, all these different elements. Twitter, you have a feed and you reply to people. I mean, that is pretty much it, and it's very easy to use. I know that Twitter is the most popular social network for people in their 30s now, which, I mean, it makes sense because most of the people who started using Twitter, you know, 7 years ago when it started are now into their 30s. But I think it's the most useful social network when it comes to gleaning information from the web. I mean,
sure.
I follow countless news sources and friends who are journalists, et cetera, and if I want to know what's going on, I just scroll through my Twitter feed for 30 seconds.
Yeah, and that just kind of brings to another thing. Like, TweetDig has been enhanced a little bit more, and I guess essentially that's the type of tools, or when you're getting into Twitter, really, of harvesting, who you're following, what information you're getting, and the spam, and helping to clean all of that in. But try out TweetDig, because that allows you to increase your list of tools that you can use for filtering Twitter in a lot of different ways. And speaking of Twitter, they also released a transparency report, and they basically came out and said, like, in 2012, in the U.S., there are 815 user information requests.
Oh.
About 1,200 Twitter user accounts, and 69% of those for some type of information were given to, I guess, intelligent agencies, meaning law enforcement. The majority of the requests, 60% were subpoenas, 19% were search warrants, 11% were court orders for the information of those accounts.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I thought it would actually be a lot larger in that case, but I guess going through the point of actually investing money and time to get a court order to get information about that account kind of is a something that's a little bit more restrictive for certain individuals.
Well, and I know Google and Facebook both last week said that they will not give out any user information without a warrant now or a court order, so which I think is reassuring. To know that my information is not just for the FBI wants it and they can just have it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have ways of getting it without asking because, you know, the FBI. But I think it's good that social networks and big internet companies are taking a stand for user privacy. It's kind of nice to see something on the positive side of that.
Sure. Sure.
All right. Do we any other big news this week, Dwight?
Well, apparently McDonald's information McDonald's nutrition information is now going to be available via QR code. And
That's clever.
That is kind of clever. You would actually end up getting it that way. Because I'm sure they're not going to now push out. They're going to see the types of users that are using this, and it's going to help with them a lot of market information, which I thought was kind of cool.
It'll also prevent users from seeing that 1,200 calories on their Big Mac.
Yeah.
So,
and United States Patent and Trademark Office released a new patent term calculator that provides the estimate of a patent's expiration date based on a comprehensive list of factors that can be found in the USPTO records. So before relying on an expiration date, you would always have to carefully inspect all relevant documents that might be available through a number of different sources, mainly the USPTO. But now these are going to be available with this new calculator, which is kind of
excellent.
Cool.
Speaking of patents, did you see that Apple finally dropped their multi-touch patent?
Yeah, what's up with that?
They
won too, though.
Well, not the multi-touch. That was a patent they filed for a few years ago. And it was basically, it's exactly what it sounds like, the ability to have multi-touch gestures on a touchscreen. They tried to patent it because apparently they were the first ones to do it. They were the first to do it on a smartphone for sure, but they definitely weren't the first to do it, period. And they finally abandoned their quest to do that because, frankly, I think it's just a little bit silly. There's no way you can patent something that everyone has been doing for a long time in other different areas of or other different mediums other than smartphones and tablets.
Yeah, so, it just looks like a huge super fight. But, I mean, speaking of Samsung, did you see their pre-Super Bowl commercial?
I have not.
That was pretty cool.
I saw the Mercedes one, which was nice.
No, I didn't see that one, but it was pretty cool. It actually has Saul, the lawyer from Breaking Bad.
Oh, nice.
He's like the attorney talking to them in there. So you get the voice and you kind of get the demeanor of Saul. And it's pretty funny, but he's talking to the dude from, not Jonah, but the other guy from Knocked Up.
Oh, Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
There we go.
And some other dude about the way that they can't use the terms, the trademark terms of the football teams and then also the Super Bowl term and the San Francisco 50s or 48ers plus ones. But that was pretty cool. It's got some really good viral. That was really smart with them to release that and to put that out online because it's getting some good viral activity. So I think they're making the best out of their investment on that.
I've noticed that a lot this year is that there are two sets of Super Bowl commercials. There are now the pre-Super Bowl commercials, which are released to YouTube and social networks go crazy. And then there are the real ones, which we'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, totally smart. Totally smart. So that's it for this week. Coming up next week, we're going to have another special guest on our podcast. But more importantly is I would definitely go check out areyouhuman.com.
Yes.
A-R-E-Y-O-U-H-U-M-N.
Areyouahuman.
Areyouahuman.com. So A-R-E-Y-O-U-A-H-U-M-A-N.com.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.